Hey, everybody, this is Henry, and you are, yes, listening to the Muni Pros Podcast. It is our third episode. I'm alongside my good friend and co-host,
Chet Jameson.
Chet Jameson. We got full name two times in a row.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. This guy is a new man. I mean, now he has a last name, so next week, you get the middle.
Maybe.
But hey.
Don't want anybody to steal my identity.
Yeah. Oh, well, I mean, Chet, who would want to steal your identity?
Yeah. Wow. Already.
Well, the heat. Guys, we have a big week. You know, CJ Cup, we had a lot of hype going into the tournament last week. We talked about strength of field, and it did not disappoint. A lot of talking points here. I think the first one we got to start with, and it's kind of surprising, but I'm a little bit more excited about this than the actual winner. Our boy, Ricky Fowler, he didn't have a lot going for him. You know, he wasn't really trending in any direction except maybe a little bit kind of just level. But he came out there this week, held the lead there for a little bit. Unfortunately, you know, we did see him kind of fizzle out there on Sunday. But I think the main takeaway for the Sunday round is that it wasn't so much that Ricky went out there and did what he did at the Waste Management, even though he did manage to win that one.
Yeah.
He didn't go out there and choke it away. He played great, Chet. I got to watch bits and pieces here and there. I looked up some highlights today. Ball striking looks good. We're starting to see that Ricky Fowler putting stroke come back in.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts here?
Yeah, he's just – it looked like he was a lot more confident than he has been in the past – you know, whatever, 2 months. That's good to see. I'm glad he's somewhat back. You know, it's only 1 week.
Only 1 week, right.
But it is very good to see. It looks like his rhythm and timing's back on point, and he's getting through the ball a lot better than what he was.
Oh, absolutely. And I think, you know, watching him today, or this past week, so when he's been in this slump for what, almost 2 years now?
Yeah.
I mean, he won the 2018 Waste Management. That was the last one. You know, now, you know, he got into the CJ Cup on a sponsor's exemption. If he's not in the top 50 come, what, January, he's not going to get into any of the WGCs or majors.
Which would be sad.
Which is very sad. And fun fact, if he doesn't get into the top 50, I think by January, he doesn't even get into the players, which is currently the exemption he's riding. This is his last year of eligibility, last exemption year.
Yeah.
I'm not sure of the term I would be looking for there. But, no, we see some good signs. I think the main thing from watching him this week, you know, I know during the peak of this slump, there was talks that he was working with a swing coach trying to change some things up. It was then noted later on in the 2021 season, not this fall wraparound portion, but back in the summer, that he kind of got away from that and is just going back to his old swing. I feel like this week he definitely is a lot more flatter than he was even 6 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
But if, you know, that's what was working for him. You know, we saw him time it. I mean, think about it. From 2014 to 2017, you were shocked if Ricky Fowler wasn't in the top 10. Now, did he win a lot? No. Should he have won more than he has?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Especially majors.
But especially majors. I mean, 2014, top five in all four. That hurts. And 2018 when Patrick Reed stole it, but we don't have to talk about that. So, yeah, I know. A lot of good things coming from Ricky. Very excited, especially that this is happening this early in the season. Hopefully, you know, he's going to the Zozo this week. But we're hoping, you know, this is a sign of things to come, and you know, that break in December, he's able to come out there for the biggest chunk of the season, and really keep it up. Let's get a win. Let's get a major. You know,
yeah.
I think this is a good first step though. You get a top 10, and you didn't fizzle down the stretch. You just basically got outplayed, which will lead us right to our next talking point here: the winner, Rory McIlroy.
Rory,
I mean.
You picked him.
I did.
I'll man up to it and say I mentioned it was a bold pick last week, you know, but he pulled it off.
Well, look, I think, you know, we saw the quotes from Rory. You know, we also saw the interview at the Ryder Cup. We talked about it in our first episode. You know, he said he just needed to get back to being himself after this win.
Yeah.
And I really think that feels like that's been the problem for the longest time is Rory's for so long was just Rory McIlroy. You know, that 2014 season, you go back to when he was young Rory. And I think it goes without saying, as you get older, things do change. He's had a kid now. He's married. Yeah. But
gray hair. He's getting old.
He is. I don't. He is, for some reason, getting more gray hair than I thought he would. Yeah. You know, but I'm hoping, you know, this is obviously a big win for him, especially after the disappointment at the Ryder Cup. I'm really looking forward to see how he continues this season, and I'm hoping that he's able to just build a momentum on this and realize he doesn't have to be anybody else but Rory McIlroy. He's
right.
When he is Rory McIlroy and not the guy that we saw pretty much all last season minus the Wells Fargo, he wins.
Yeah.
I mean, all we need to do is get him to have a team event, have a little bit of a breakdown, and then send him right to Augusta. I think that'll take care of business for him. But very excited for him. What did you think? You know, did you get to watch any of him play? You know,
a
little bit this week.
So, wish I would have watched more on Sunday, but not very happy with the coverage. That was a whole debacle.
Well,
I was so mad.
We can go ahead and do a little segue into that, and then come back to Rory because
something.
Look, they talk. How much do they talk about growing the game when in telecast?
Oh my gosh! Yeah, so much. And you want to grow the game, but you can't whenever you're showing the Champions Tour and you're only seeing eight holes.
Well, also,
so kept pushing it back on Sunday.
I mean, Europeans. I mean, golf is a worldwide sport, but you got to think when the tournaments are in the United States, I mean, most people watching is going to be, you know, Americans. I know it was in Vegas, so the time difference, most of your population really is kind of this East Coast. But you literally have Ricky Fowler, who's we're hoping it's a resurgence and not just a random. You have Rory McIlroy, who's like one of the most beloved players in the game of all time.
Yep.
You got Colin Morikawa, who is a young gun who everybody, you know, he's everybody's new Jordan Spieth as far as the young golden child.
Yeah.
And you're not showing this? You're not showing the front nine?
Yeah, I think they said they had 24 of the top 30 players in the world playing this weekend. And why aren't you showing it? You're only showing eight holes of golf on a Sunday, the final day.
I shouldn't have to be refreshing Twitter to see, you know, what's going on. I mean, thank God for Ricky Legion and Rory McIlroy Tracker, although they are no Tiger Tracker, let's be honest. Yeah. But I just couldn't believe that the coverage was what it was. I mean, I'm going to be honest, nobody's watching a Champions Tour event when you got this event going on right and beside it, and you have, what, you said 15 of the top 30 players?
24
of the top 30 players. So, very disappointed in that. We didn't get to watch much. Plus, I mean, it hurts golf usually in the fall, competing with football.
Yeah.
You know, I wanted to watch, but in my house, if the Browns are playing, I'm not going to watch golf. I mean, and I get it. You know, football is 17 games a year. Golf is pretty much year-round, minus four weeks in December and a couple weird breaks. But you got 24 of the 30 best players in the world, and you're not going to show them. It's ridiculous. You're not going to grow the game. You're not going to get any more fans. And if your ratings are terrible, come out Monday morning, I can tell you why.
Yeah, exactly.
Because at that point, you got a fourth quarter left to finish or jump over to golf. I might as well finish the football game.
Exactly.
I already missed half the round.
Exactly. And they tried to save it by like throwing highlights in there. Or flashbacks to the holes, but it's just not the same.
Well, they can do that all they want, but they need to do it when there's not action going on because you had this shootout going on. I want to see shots as they're happening.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to get on Twitter and find out Ricky three-putted, which I did find out that Ricky three-putted on Twitter. But, yeah, unbelievable. I think that is one of the biggest issues with golf in general.
Yep.
As far as on a large scale, because coverage, you get that, 30-minute layover from Golf Channel to NBC sometimes. Yep. It's got to get better.
Yeah. I feel they're showing more in PGA Tour Live than they are.
Oh, they are. And I mean, I know this is talked about in other podcasts by other golf fans, but it's for every three shots, you get six advertisements.
Exactly.
And that's not fun to watch
either. It's not.
And people wonder why you know, people say golf is boring or something, you know, because when they watch, all they see is advertisements, and then, you know, they'll show some random shot. You have no context as to what the shot means.
Exactly. And they're not hurting on any financial level at all. PGA Tour's not. No. So it's like, why are you taking this away from the people who truly want to grow the game, like you said, and enjoy it? And we can't. It's hard to.
We can't. And they would grow. They would get, you know, they would grow the game. They would get more money if their coverage schedule was decent.
Yeah, exactly.
If it was decent.
Yeah.
But, you know, we could sit here and dive into that all day. Let's go back to Rory. You know, we pretty much covered everything we really needed to say about him. You know, I watched him on Saturday. I watched the highlights. It looked like old Rory. You know, he, yep. You know, strokes gained putting, he was first. Strokes gained.
It's over six on strokes gained putting, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, it was unreal.
It's crazy. And he was in the negative strokes gained off the tee.
Yeah.
And he won the tournament.
There's only been like three instances since Shot Tracker or Shot Link came in like 2003 that's happened.
Shot 25 under, negative strokes gained off the tee.
And here's a great callback to last week's episode. 25 under. That's pretty high scoring.
Yeah, I was talking to my brother and sister-in-law about it, and yeah, I had it in the back of my mind from last week, and I definitely want to see more of a challenge for the players because, like, he ran away with it.
Oh, yeah, it was pretty much over. Well, when he eagled 14 at that point, Ricky
could... I mean, Colin, he stepped on his third a little bit on hole 18 with that eagle finishing up. I mean, hats off to him. Shot 10 under, which is incredible on a Sunday. But, yeah, I mean, I'd rather see him struggle just a little bit.
Just
more.
A little bit, yeah. I mean, the course was great, though.
It was.
I mean, it's a fantastic track. The views, you know, when we got to see them, were very, you know, it's aesthetic.
Yeah.
I would love to go out there and play. I'm sure I wouldn't shoot 10 under.
Do you think Ricky Fowler thrives more in desert golf than anything else, or no?
That is a great question. I'm gonna say. No, I don't think it's desert or not desert. That's like the determining factor. I think he
Let me say this. Do you think he gets more excited for desert golf than anything else?
It does seem like that. I mean, we know he loves the waste management. I mean, that's like
right.
One of his favorite tournaments on tour.
Yeah, that's like his tournament.
You know, anytime we're going into, I know he won the Scottish Open there a couple years back, or we're going into any British Open that he's playing in because now, unfortunately. They always talk about Ricky being a great wind player. I do think Ricky does seem to play better when the conditions are a little bit more challenging. But I have also seen him when it's like a perfect day outside.
Yeah.
And he has no reason to not go out there and fire at pins, and he doesn't do it. So I really think Ricky, I think he gets excited for desert courses. I mean, we know he loves the waste management. But as far as... whether it's a determining factor in him playing better or worse, I can't say, you know, yes or no. I hope so. I hope he wins the waste management, and then, you know, it gets real dusty at Augusta, and he go ahead and gets a major too. But we were just talking about Colin. Let's go ahead and you know, 10 under Sunday, 62. I mean, as far as that young class, we've talked about him quite a bit on this podcast. Colin is. Somehow, I mean, despite Matt Wolf doing, he actually has turned it around a little bit here, and Victor Hovland being, you know, doing his thing, getting a couple wins. Colin really has set himself apart. I mean, first of all, two majors, but it seems like he's been in the conversation every Sunday for the last, you know, any tournament he's been in, it seems like. I'm excited. I'm excited for every major, and I feel like you'd be dumb not to bet on Colin Morikawa.
Exactly. Yeah, he's just one of the best ball strikers in the game right now, so you have to respect that. And you've seen him say or people say that they would take Colin's 6-iron over some guys' wedges, like they that. Yeah,
well, and I think, I mean, when and I've heard the golf analysts talk about this, but I think ball strikers are undoubtedly like the most fun players to watch. You see Colin. You see Jordan, especially in this last season, it seemed like his what really got him back going was his approach game, where he was his, you know, tournaments. He had like four hole outs in 3 weeks or something crazy.
Yeah.
But you see, you know, you see these ball strikers, Tiger, I mean,
obviously.
They're the most fun to watch because those long irons, I mean, when they get their putter going, it's
game over. So.
They're playing a game that I've never played before.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's fun to watch. Colin is gonna, I hope he doesn't lose it. I hope he continues on this upward trend because right now he's becoming that, you know, he's having a season, two seasons in a row here where he's getting into that Jordan Spieth, Jason Day, those kind of runs where, you know, in 3 years from now, when he's, you know, not had a top 10 in five tournaments, people are going to be like, it's just not the same as, you know, 2020, 2021.
Right.
And I hope he doesn't have that, but right now he's on top of the world.
He is. Yeah. And golfers will fall into their own slumps.
Whether
it may be a little one or a big one, like it happens. It happens.
That's golf, though.
Exactly. You can't be perfect all the time, and that's why I love the game. You can't be perfect.
Yeah, no matter how good of a ball striker you are, you're going to have a bad ball striking day.
Exactly. You're going to miss one shot. You're going to miss one putt. It'll happen.
And that's why I love, like, you know, they always talk, you always hear the comparison of, you know, like a kicker steps up for a field goal. And that's all they do. I mean, that's all they practice. And yet sometimes kickers still miss field goals.
Exactly.
And it's funny because it's basically the same kind of thing as golf. These players are out there practicing day after day. You know, you could put them on a par three, their home course par three, 150 yards, and there's a solid chance that they could hit the green every time. I mean, it's probably wouldn't happen, but there is a solid chance. It's just great. It's the same way with a kicker. When you get into that moment, you know, these players have hit a 200-yard six iron how many times? Countless.
Right.
But they still, and it's Sunday, you know, they have, you know, there's the pressure. And it's just crazy to see when someone's that good of a ball striker, they don't even think about it. It's the pressure is, I feel like it'll be on the putting or something.
Right.
But good ball strikers, I feel like they don't feel it. I mean, I'm sure they do, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, and with being such a good ball striker, and then being fun to watch, I think it's because they can get more creative than other people.
Absolutely. I think
because
that's a great point.
Because, like us, we like to be comfortable because we're not that confident in hitting a different shot shape and different trajectory every time. We don't have that confidence like they do because we're focused on making contact and just being comfortable and hitting the most comfortable shot shape or most natural shot shape that we hit.
Yeah, baby slices all day.
Yeah, I went from like a cut to a draw to a cut to a draw and back to a cut again.
I feel like when we first started playing together, you were playing a draw.
I was. So,
and then now you do hit a little bit more cuts.
Yeah, whenever I went to college, I started hitting more draws because I wanted to hit more powerful shot shape.
Yeah.
More piercing into the wind, but
I feel like it just kind of depends on the day, you know.
It does.
I step up, you know, I get through two holes, I'm like, all right, the balls are going to the right.
Yeah, that's, you got to play it.
If I start pulling it, I'm aiming right.
Right.
But you know, we've been talking about ball strikers. We'll touch on this. We don't have video this week. We're gonna try to get that sorted out for you guys. Also,
it's been a big issue, unfortunately.
We do know there's an issue on YouTube with some copyright issues. We're not sure.
I don't know why. We've used all of our original stuff, so
yeah. The music was just give credit where credit's due, essentially.
Yeah,
so
we won't get into it. So.
Yeah, we're not sure what's going on, but we've sued YouTube, and we'll hear back soon. But let's jump to Jordan Spieth.
Actually, real quick,
go
to Rory.
Oh, yeah,
again.
Of course.
So I don't know if you saw it, Rory. So let's not just talk on Rory. All players, if you have 20 wins and you've played on a tour for 15 years, you get a lifetime exemption in the PGA Tour. I didn't know that until this week, whenever that reporter asked him that in a press conference.
Okay.
So, like, he got his 20th win, and he's exempted.
For life. But he has to wait.
He has to wait 2 years. He has to play 2 more years. Yeah, and you have to play a minimum, I think, of 15 events every year, but that's nothing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. DJ was the same way. When he got, I forget what his 20th win was. He's way over that now, I think. But they were talking about that, too. I always thought it was automatic. If you got 20 wins, it didn't matter how long you've been on tour.
Right.
I mean, because I feel like.
But I mean, I agree with the 15 years you got to play on tour. Just because you can take Tiger, for example. If he gets 20 wins in 3 years or something like that, and then he just falls off the face of the earth, then he might always be at the bottom of the leaderboard. You know what I mean? So, like,
yeah.
You have to play consistently good golf for this amount of time, which I agree with.
I agree, yeah. And I think it's hard to use Tiger as an example.
It is.
Because, I mean, he hit 20 wins at, like, 23 or 24.
Yeah.
So, I mean, first of all, I think, you know, even if they didn't have that rule, there was no worry on, you know, the tour admin thinking, oh, Tiger's got 20, he's gone. No, that guy was there. He was trying to get 20 more.
Yeah.
Which he did three times.
Right.
20. Or, yeah, I said that wrong. Anyway.
That's okay.
He got 82. I'll just bring that up.
Yeah. So, Jordan Spieth, sorry to interrupt, but.
Oh, by all means, interrupt me all you want, Chad.
Okay. Wow, you don't want to give me that authority.
Yeah, don't. But we don't have a lot to say on Jordan. It looked like it was going to be a pretty big week for him.
It looked promising.
Fizzled out there on Saturday with an even par round on a course that, as we talked about earlier, very gettable. 25 under was the winning score, so yeah. If you weren't shooting 5 or 6 under on the day, you were falling way behind.
Right.
But... Jordan Spieth doing Jordan Spieth-like things. Another chip. And this one, I mean, I don't know how he seems. I mean, the one at the Ryder Cup where he was under the ledge, I mean, that's a whole different level.
Right.
But this one, I know the announcers are like, he's short-sighted. He's got no green to work
over
with.
Over a bunker.
Over a bunker. And I remember they were talking about how open the face was. So,
yeah.
So,
because he was hitting off a downslope and the green was running away from him. I mean, all odds were against him.
Yeah.
Normally.
let's put this in perspective. If me or Chet are sitting right there and we got to hit that chip shot to try and save par, I can tell you this much.
In front of fans, on TV,
on
the PGA Tour.
Chet's probably, I'll give you credit. I think you're going to hit the green. You're going to go long.
Thanks, Hank.
Yeah.
Wow.
See,
look at you.
I'm not always a mean person.
Look at you.
I think you'll hit the green. You're going long, though. You might run off the back.
I don't blame it. Just because I don't want to leave it in the bunker.
Right.
Because then I'm blading it in the water.
Where am I going? I'm chunking it right into that bunker. Because I always struggle to commit to my flop shots.
Mm.
So if I hit a good one, I don't know how I did it. Because it's either a good one or
But you don't say that. You don't say that. You just...
Oh, no. If I hit a good one, I totally was trying to do that.
Exactly. Yeah.
But, you know, we if we had video, we would totally have this up for you to see.
So it's par 3. Kind of blocked it out to the right a little bit. And he's in the rough, off a downslope, like we said. Pin's back. He's about pin high, a little short.
Yeah, and he was above the hole.
Above the hole.
And it
has to hit over a bunker. And, yeah, there was a little bit of a ridge right in front of the bunker that was leading away from the flag, so running towards the water. So to get a stop on the dime, it's near to impossible.
Especially coming out of the rough, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So he hit this flop shot best he could, I'd say, and landed it just on the green. If it wouldn't have hit the pin.
I think it's off.
It's either off or just on.
Yeah.
Because it was cooking pretty good.
It had a lot of speed. I mean, and that's – Jordan, I mean, that shot was, I mean, he probably hit it, and he had to be thinking, like, you know, a miracle, like, stop somehow.
Right.
He's not thinking that's going in.
Yeah, there's no way.
And he hit as good of a shot as he could have.
Yeah.
If it doesn't hit the pin and it stops 10, 12 feet past, phenomenal shot.
Yeah.
There's still, the announcers are still going to be like, that's as good as he could have done.
Right.
So it's just in typical Jordan Spieth fashion
yep.
that he happens to
yep.
hole out
yep.
in a position like
I think
that.
He's got that luck with him.
Oh yeah, and I think you have a great anecdote about Jordan Spieth at the memorial that someone's dad told you.
Anecdote.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah.
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 This
JT's
was like
dad.
Wasn't this right at the beginning of him coming out of the slump, posting
yeah,
some low rounds?
Yeah. Yeah. It was on hole 4, par 3. It kind of drops off to the left there. Pin was back left. And I was sitting right beside Justin Thomas's dad, just chilling, you know, we were talking a little bit, and which is really cool. And Jordan was just off into the rough. He was on top. He didn't roll down the bank. And chipping uphill, it was very, very simple chip. And then he ends up chipping it in. And then JT's dad looks at me and goes, "Oh, Jordan's back to doing that again."
Yeah, I mean, I feel like most of the players know. I think I'm pretty positive that for the 2020-2021 season, he had the most hole outs of anybody on tour.
Yeah, I don't doubt it.
And it was like he was like an outlier to the guy in second. It was just absurd. Well, we saw him have, you know, two hole in ones, you know, also hole out from like 170 at the AT&T. Just ridiculous.
Yeah.
But speaking of JT, JT and Bones season debuted, you know, this week. You know, we kind of hyped him up a little bit coming into the week.
We did. I mean, I think anybody would have hyped him up this week just because the last time they worked together, they ended up winning.
Right, right.
So they had high expectations going into this, and I think they had that in the back of their minds, I'm guessing. I mean, Tiger said it. Why wouldn't you come into the tournament expecting to win?
Mm-hmm.
Anybody's wanting to win. So having that on their shoulders of everybody holding them to a higher standard than anybody else, I think, just because they're working together finally permanently. So, I mean, they played well, or he played well. He didn't disappoint,
I'd say. I don't think so. I mean, he finished the same as Jordan at 18 under. And basically, honestly, they didn't show a lot of JT in the Thursday coverage. I didn't really see him in the Friday coverage.
Obviously, Sunday wasn't there.
Yeah, but I mean, from what I saw, is he had a real bad triple on like the front nine Thursday. He did manage to come back and fire up a 69, which that's why they're pros and we're not.
Exactly. Yeah.
But you know, after that, the rest of his rounds look good. He just, same with Jordan that Saturday, that Saturday 70 really slowed him down. But to come back out, fire up a 64 on Sunday, finish 18 under, what was he, tied 18th. I think that's a pretty good debut. You know, JT, he's kind of one of those people who, you know, as casual fans, I'm always thinking JT might go out and win one because he seems to play well at everywhere.
Right.
So I think probably a disappointing finish for JT. He's won this prior. So, for him to, you know, not getting even in the top 10, I am a little surprised by that, but, overall pretty good debut. You always gotta be a little nervous starting with a new caddy, but they have won before.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, I think we're going to see a lot of JT this year.
If that's their worst finish, so be it. I mean, they'll take that any day. Obviously there's always going to be something that you can look back on and be like, oh, if I would have done this, we would have done that. And so it's just one of those weekends, I think, or one of those weeks. But, yeah, he didn't disappoint, I don't think. So it was solid week for old JT.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I got big expectations for JT this year, especially with Bones on the bag. Good start for him, and I'm definitely excited for him to kind of get past this fall season. I mean, I like the fall season, but in my personal opinion, the season truly starts, you know, about Century Tournament of Champions, which is usually the first weekend in January.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
that's when I really feel like the season kicks off. Plus, you know, then you got four majors coming up, so you're pretty hyped for that.
Yep.
But a couple more things here about the CJ Cup. We'll jump right into Abraham Answer, who has the perfect name to cap off like the – this is really random. I'm just going to throw it out there. He's got the perfect name to have beat Tiger Woods in the 2019 president.
Yeah.
Because what is that headline going to read? The answer.
right?
Come on. That's fire.
That's perfect.
Yeah. I actually think that I feel like they use that when because he did pretty well in the, you know, the group, the team formats.
Yeah.
I think they actually did use that.
I don't put it past.
But this week at CJ Cup, he actually, and we're going to watch it because this was not in the coverage, but it was on PGA Tour Live. But Abraham Answer holes out for an albatross, which for all you casual fans out there, I'd probably put it as rarer than a hole in one.
100%.
I mean, you're hitting this 100%. From, you know, 200 to 250, 60, maybe even further, although much less likely after, you know, 275. But he did. He fired this one up. So we're going to take a look at it here, and we're going to try to describe the scene. Chet, you ready to turn on your announcer skills?
Yeah, I got you. So he's in the middle of the fairway here. Got a pretty long iron. My guess is a 3-iron. So he hits it's on hole 14, 556 par 5. Hits a little draw. I think he wanted to draw a little more. It landed front right in the fringe. Rolls to the back right, and then there's a ridge in the middle of the green that just fed it right back to the back left hole location. You couldn't have drew it up any more perfect.
I think it just kept rolling. I definitely think that that ball was not hit at its intended line.
There's no way.
I mean, that ball landed, it looked like 30, 45 feet to the right, yeah. And it just took a very generous hop.
Yeah. Kicked a little left and just kept feeding back.
I mean, it had to roll. Look, I'll count how long this ball rolls.
Yeah.
I'll do it. All right, here we go. It just landed.
Yep.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14.
About 14 seconds. May count a little fast.
I was a little fast. I didn't hit him with the Mississippi.
About 12 seconds, I'd say.
But still.
Still, that's forever.
Look, Abraham Hanser has actually, you know, he got his first PGA Tour win earlier, not this season. It was in the 2020-2021 season. This whole wraparound thing, it still confuses
yeah,
me.
Yeah, it loses me.
But he's definitely poised to have a big season. He finally got that win off his back. We know he can. He's a ball striker.
Mm-hmm.
That definitely is. When he was on, when he won, actually, no, it was Wells Fargo. He put a little heat on Rory down the stretch because I'm pretty sure the last five holes, all of his approach shots were within 8 feet.
Yeah.
It was a ball striking clinic. So obviously always fun to see a shot like that. I don't think he was planning on making that.
No.
I don't think he hit it where he wanted to.
I don't think anybody plans to make an albatross.
I don't think so either. But that's why we love golf. I do have a lot of big expectations for Abraham as well. And we're going to jump right into another South American here who pulled off something that is just as much fun as an albatross.
Yeah, 100%.
So basically, we'll describe this for you. They were playing a desert course at the CJ Cup, and Joaquin missed way right.
Oh, I mean, just left the face open. Oh. Just looked like a shank. I don't know how you shank a driver, but
that actually was the video title, was Joaquin shanks
driver.
Yeah.
Jeez.
I don't know how he did it.
It was way right.
So they were trying to find it, and it turned out it was like in a bush, but there's like rocks and desert. So he had to take an unplayable.
So there's an adjacent fairway to the hole he was playing on, and it was to the right of that in the desert. Like, that's how far right he went.
Oh, wow. So, I did not know that. Yeah. So I know he was able. So when you take
pretty
an unplayable, sure. You can't go any closer to the hole, but you can go as far back as you want pretty much.
Yeah. I'm sorry, I would have been to the left, not to the right, technically. Sorry.
Oh, we're all right. We're directionally challenged. but so he's able to drop in the fairway because he took an unplayable. Blind shot. He cannot see the pin. And Joaquin fires up a great wedge shot. I mean, he has no idea.
Yeah, can't even see the green.
And his playing partners are up there. And this ball takes two hops. Like, the second hop is 3 inches behind the pin, and yep. It spins back right in.
Right in the hole.
For birdie, to start his day.
Yeah. What a start.
There's a lot of things in golf that are, you know, I feel like the beauty of golf is that the albatross, Joaquin's, you don't plan that.
No.
I mean, you don't, Abraham, I don't think could see his ball, you know, taking
yeah.
that line. And
I mean, he's 5'6".
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he is short. That's Jesse's height.
That is.
And then Joaquin, he's another guy who he couldn't even see the hole.
Yeah.
But real quick note on Joaquin, just a random thought I'm having here. How does he not, like, break his back every time he swings?
Oh, my gosh, dude. It hurts my back just looking at him swing.
I don't know how he – and he also weighs, like, 5 pounds.
Yeah.
I don't know how he hits it so far and doesn't hurt himself every time he swings.
Yeah.
But – yeah, another ridiculous birdie to start your day. That is one good thing I'll say, you know, about those courses that are at, that get up to 25 under in the tournament. I do think it's fun to see. You do see a lot more ridiculous shots like that. You see players holding out. And I don't know. It may just be kind of It might not have to do with the score at all. It may just be pins are in easy, better right. positions or something for him. But, you know, if we want to talk about something ridiculous, so we're going to jump to this. We don't even have a name for you on this person, but it was reported by Barstool. And then another.
Macy Pate,
yeah, okay. So a sophomore in high school in North Carolina, she goes out state tournament.
No, conference championship.
Oh, well, it's her, the article I read said state tournament, so.
Oh, that's from Golf Digest.
Oh, then I had the wrong link.
It's either conference or state. We don't know.
But she goes out there and fires up in the conference state championship.
There you go.
A 57.
57. Sophomore in high school.
Which, by the way, that is the state record.
Yeah. I mean, I'd hope so.
And this is my favorite part about this little blurb is her quote on it. Now, granted, she's a sophomore. You're probably a little camera shy. I get it.
Yeah.
I mean, but her quote on this, and we all know how hard golf is. Her quote was, "I hit my wedges close and my putter was hot." Okay, there was a lot more going on than just hitting wedges close and making putts, because
you can't be shanking drives and hitting wedges close.
Yeah, you're not. I mean, what about the holes you weren't using wedge? You had
exactly.
to be to shoot a 57. You got to be making birdies on more than you know, wedge shots in. You're hitting long irons. You're hitting par threes close. Incredible.
Everything's going right.
Yeah, and you're getting all the bounces.
Yeah,
I mean. There's luck involved with a 57.
Oh, yeah, I'd say so. I mean, definitely a lot of talent, obviously. She had 14 birdies. 14 birdies in one round. There's no way
I
do that.
I have two birdies in a front nine, and I immediately go out and double or triple.
Exactly.
Because I start thinking, like, what if I get another one?
Yeah. What's going to happen after the second one? Yeah, she shot 27 on the front nine, 30 on the back. Incredible. She started birdie, 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 birdie. Five birdies in a row. Par, birdie.
First of all, where...
Then ended with five birdies.
What is this course?
That's what I want to know.
They're picking for a conference or state tournament.
That's what I want to know. And I want to see the other scores, too.
Yeah, were they all ridiculously low? I'd love to see her strokes gained, but obviously this is a high schooler, so I don't think they had a lot of stats.
Either way, it's impressive. So.
Oh, very impressive.
That's off to you, Macy.
Yeah, Macy, you have my utmost respect. And fun fact, what you shot in 18 holes, you beat Jesse in what he shoots in 9. So it's truly, you're an incredible person.
That'd be a match for the ages.
Oh, yeah. Have her go out, play 18, and then just have Jesse play 9 holes.
Play 9, see how it works.
We can even let Jesse play 9 par 3s, and I guarantee you she'd tire.
Let him play from the ladies' tees, too, and I still don't think he'd do it.
There's got to be. There's a height requirement. You know?
There is.
Yeah. He's just a little too tall.
Yeah. By a half inch.
Yeah, he plays from the seniors, though. He's not tall enough to ride the white tees. Sorry, Jesse.
We love you, Jesse.
For those of you that don't know, Jesse's like 5'8", and he does not shoot 57 very often. He's usually in the mid to low 40s with that occasional.
He's a good golfer.
He's an okay golfer.
He's a decent golfer. Yeah. I was trying to be nice.
We love you, Jesse.
We do.
All right. So that, you know, we covered the CJ Cup here. We got a high schooler. Other than that, the golf world was a little bit quiet. Again, it was mostly because the coverage wasn't on.
Unfortunately, yeah.
So we're going to jump right in to the Zozo Championship. So big week. Basically, you know, for the Zozo, it's usually played in Japan. 2020, it jumped to Wolf Creek there in Vegas.
Believe so.
Yep, and we're back in Japan. COVID is no longer limiting kind of our... where tournaments can be. So we're back in Japan.
That was the first. So the Zozo, whenever COVID hit, that was the first tournament they called off fans.
Was?
It was.
Oh, you're right.
Yes. So they had that rain hit the day before. Then they went, and then they called off fans.
I do not remember that.
Yeah, because Tiger won that one.
Well, that would have been 2019, though. COVID wasn't a thing.
I still think it was the same tournament.
I don't think so. They did get a lot of rain, though. Yeah. Well, look, COVID didn't hit till 2020.
That's true.
Yeah. I mean, there was talks about wrong. It. I don't know, Chet. I mean,
I feel like it was the Zozo.
But Tiger did win that for number 82, baby. Let's go.
That he did.
But no, we're back in Japan, which is always good. I'm assuming they're going to allow fans. It might be a little bit more restricted than what we have here in the United States. Not really too up to speed on COVID protocols as of late, but we do have, it's a big week. Patrick Cantlay's going back.
I was right. Sorry.
Well, let's hear it. Read whatever you just read, Chet.
So, no fans, no claps as Woods moves into solo lead at Zozo. Following Thursday's frenzy, when 17 fans crowded onto Narashino Country Club to get a glimpse of Tiger Woods, Saturday's second round, the Zozo Championship was surreal and subdued. So, it happened second round.
So, it was, but it was because of rain, not because of COVID.
It was
because... Right.
I don't think it was because of rain. I don't know. There's no way if they still played.
Yeah, I don't know. That's tough.
Oh, well.
Who knows? But Tiger did win that.
He did.
So, Patrick Cantlay defending. I think the first thing we got to jump in here and talk about, I mean, Patrick had a breakout year last year.
Yeah.
I don't see any reason why he couldn't go back and win again this year. His game's been trending. He played well in the Ryder Cup. What are your thoughts here?
Yeah, he's been solid as of lately. So I don't put it past him to fire up low numbers this week. He could be right up there in the mix. Now, he did win whenever he was in U.S. soil last year. So it could be fairly different with it going across the pond again over into Japan. But doesn't mean he can't play well and still win for the second year in a row. So... I just feel like there will be a lot more players in the mix this week that will be up there with him. I think he will be up in the mix. I don't doubt a top 10 from him this week at all. He's feeling pretty confident lately, so he'll be right up there.
Oh, yeah, I have no doubt he's going to go out there. You know, it's another pretty good field, honestly. I know, you know, they don't do a lot of tournaments. Usually it's one or two over in Japan.
Yeah.
So it's always actually a fun tournament to watch because, you know, you're not getting a lot of, you know, those fans don't get to see, you know, these golfers play. So when they have the chance to go out there, they usually pack the house.
Yeah.
Which, again, we hope that they're going to do that. Yep. Don't know their COVID you know, situation, but that is like one of the more fun parts of like the Zozo and the other tournaments there in Japan soil because you know they don't get to see this. So the fans are in it, which obviously I think helps the players, you know, get a little bit more into it. So yeah, I'm very excited for this one. We have who else is in this? We got Keegan Bradley who actually, you know, he always can kind of go in and
he's, what's the term I'm looking for?
A sleeper.
Sleeper. Yeah, that's a good term. You never know when he's going to pop out of the woods and just fire up a low number. So, could happen this week. You never know. Will Zalatoris is ranked pretty high this week. So, hopefully, I always like to see him play well. He's very fun to watch. He's a young gun. Always looking to attack. It's really fun to watch. So, hopefully he fires up a low number as well. Got Maverick McNealy. He's up there, which shocked me, honestly. We haven't seen him do a ton. He can shoot well, go low. So, hopefully with him going up against, you know, some top talent this week, it'll really help him boost his confidence and hopefully he goes out there and performs well.
Oh yeah. I always, you know, I think this fall little wraparound season, you do see a lot of the guys who haven't, you know, quite, you know, made their mark on the tour yet, you know, solidified themselves as a top tier player. I do feel like now discluding Rory McIlroy, but I do feel like a lot of these tournaments, you do see a couple names in the mix that you usually don't see there, you know, at the end of the summer. Because, you know, why the guys who are in the top 30 and in the FedEx Cup, they might be taking a couple of weeks off. You see those young guys, they're right back at it, you know, and they are, you know, ready to go for this new season because it's their livelihood. So I definitely think, you know, this tournament presents a lot of options for, you know, a lot of opportunity for some of these younger guys. But, you know, there's still a lot of big names. You know, Xander, Will, and I, like you said with Will, I mean, he's due.
100%.
He's due.
He's due, 100%, yeah. And back to these younger players, I feel like with them getting out early, the better it is, you know, these tournaments early in the season, the better they fare later on in the season. Just because they're up there in the mix and like, okay, I can do this. You know, I'm here. I'm right here with these guys. There's no reason why I can't finish well in the FedEx Cup.
Oh, right.
Maybe claim the FedEx Cup at such a young age. Anybody can do it. You just got to have that confidence and strong will of going out there and know your game and know you're going to perform well. So hopefully we see that with these young guys this week. And, yeah, back to these top-tier players this week. Colin Morikawa's back in the mix.
And I wouldn't be surprised at all if we see Colin go out and win. I mean, clearly he's striking the ball well. You know, I'm sure he probably, you know, flew out today just to get a little bit of jet lag kind of off your back. So you're kind of rearing and ready to go. You know, number one on our power rankings, I'm surprised Colin isn't truthfully with how he played last week, but Xander. And I was, when me and Chet were in here talking prior to starting the recording, I asked Chet, I said, why is Xander number one for the Zozo?
Yeah, yeah. And we thought about it, and I just thought, you know, he just won the Olympics in Japan. So that's probably the main reason, and he's definitely having that in the back of his mind coming into this week. You know, I just won in Japan not too long ago, so there's no reason why I can't do it again. So he's going to have that confidence and know how these courses over there are going to play. So him being number one in the rankings doesn't shock me one bit.
Oh, I think he is. And he's another guy. He's like the young player who I feel like has 10, 12 wins. Because he really is in the mix all the time. So I think, you know, I've said this about a couple guys, but I really do think Xander, I mean, we're due for that breakout, that Patrick Cantlay type year, where Xander goes and wins 3-4 events.
Yeah.
It just, when is it going to happen? I mean, he's got to close. It's usually, he either loses in a playoff or he just fizzles down the stretch. And it's not because and I feel like with Xander, it's not that he's choking. It's usually he just gets a little outplayed there, like two holes.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't be surprised. There's a lot of people. I think this tournament, there's a lot of names that if you ask me about any one of them, I'd tell you right now that they can go in and win.
Yeah, 100%. Anybody can win any tournament at any time. So it's just a matter of who, just a matter of when.
But that brings us to who won the Pick'ems this past week.
Yeah, you got it back to 1-1.
That's right, folks. It is 1-1.
Yeah. I'll let you have your moment.
I picked Rory McIlroy. As we know, he won.
He did.
Big day. I actually forgot I picked Rory. so I was very excited to walk into here and figure it out. But that brings us to having to make our picks. And since I don't know how many individuals voted on our...
I think we got seven.
Seven. We appreciate all seven of you.
All seven of you. We thank you very much. And it was on Spotify. For those of you who didn't see it, you got to click on the individual episode itself. It's at the bottom of the description or below the description. So for those of you who listen on Apple Podcasts, I apologize. We couldn't get it on there. But for those of you that are on Spotify and didn't see it, in the future, that's where we will post them. And we will even get them out on Instagram and Twitter as well. Yeah. So
I also do want to just take this time real quick. I do want to thank all those who have continued to listen with us, second episode.
Yeah.
We do this because we love golf.
Yep.
But we also want you guys to get something out of it. So really, you know, if you guys want to tweet at us, give us some ideas of what you guys want to hear. Because, you know, someday we're going to make it big.
Someday.
Someday we're going to get there.
We got a possible sponsorship.
Yeah.
So, spoiler alert.
Yep.
We leaked it.
Let's get that 7 votes and let's get 7 straight up votes because 2 of those were me and Chet.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what's funny is I went in to vote and I know I was supporting the one I didn't vote for. So I realized I clicked the wrong. I was looking at it. I was mid conversation with somebody. And I clicked the wrong thing. So I voted for what I didn't talk about on the podcast. So don't believe anything I say. I know nothing, and my words are fruitless. But for my first pick, oh my god!
How's it feel?
I don't even know how to feel right now.
I'm not even worried.
I know who I'm going with.
Who are you going with?
I'm going with the man who I said is hopefully trending upwards. I think it'll be a very telltale sign to see how he plays this week. If we get a little bit, if he keeps up the ball striking he had this week, makes some putts just like he did this past week, I think we could very well see, Ricky break out of the slump. So I'm going Ricky Fowler.
Okay.
It's kind of bold because not only can he go out there and I'm hoping trending in the right direction, but he could also go out there and be right back to current generation Ricky where he misses the cut. So
it will be a different style of play for him this week. So hopefully he can maintain his.
And Chet, you might not know this. This is the same course that Tiger won on in 2019, correct?
2019.
Yeah, yeah, so they moved it back to the same course.
Yeah.
It was literally just in Vegas for COVID. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, Chet, your pick.
So my pick, oh man. I am going to go with the pause at the top backswing. Just an animal. Hideki Matsuyama. I got to pick him.
Hideki. There we go.
Sorry.
I mean, look.
He's due. We've been saying that a lot about a lot of people, but I really feel like he's due.
He is due.
And I've just been thinking about the match between Tiger, Hideki, Jason Day, and Rory whenever they played over there.
Oh,
was that in Japan?
Yeah.
Yeah. He was playing really well. So.
Yeah, I think, Hideki is always going to be a good pick. And it blows my mind when I find out he's 28 or 27, 28.
Right.
Because he feels like he's been around forever.
Right, yeah. And this is his home course advantage, so.
Oh, home court?
Yeah.
I mean, he's got all
the fans.
Everybody's
going to be rooting for him.
He is Tiger Woods in Japan, you know what I'm saying?
He is. So I'm excited to see him play this week. Hopefully he fares well. So
it's a pretty solid pick, Chet. I think you're wrong, but.
Yeah, you say that every time.
All right, my second pick. Oh man, I'm gonna go Colin Morikawa.
Okay,
I
respect it. That was one of my picks.
It's hard not to pick him.
I mean, one of us were gonna pick him anyway, so he's always right there. Has been playing very well, and he almost won last week, so got solo second. So he's gonna fire up a good score this week. So let's see, my second pick. I'll go the number one. I'll go Xander. I love Xander. Such a cool dude. Great, great ball striker himself. He's got confidence and
he's got swag.
He's got swag.
Yeah,
man.
I love
you
that.
I love
man.
It.
The
yeah.
Xander zone,
yeah.
Baby.
So hopefully he can do what he did at the Olympics this past year and hopefully he wins so I can get picked first pick next week.
I want Xander Schauffele to win, not because you picked him, but because I really like Xander, and he doesn't have enough wins to how good of a player he is.
Right.
I think, he's another Colin Morikawa where I feel like you could pick him any week and make a valid argument for him winning.
Right, exactly.
All right, I'm going to throw a little – this is probably going to bite me in the butt because he's not –
Never know.
He's not really been doing much. He doesn't even have a PGA Tour win. He almost won a major, but I feel like he's another guy who should have a PGA Tour win. It just hasn't happened yet. I'm going Tommy Fleetwood.
Ooh.
The guy is a stud.
He is, but doesn't have a win yet. I don't know.
Look, I told you.
He plays pretty well.
I told you it might be a bad pick. But, I mean, he is one of those guys. I mean, there's no reason he doesn't have a PGA Tour win. He just recently, you know, had a pretty good stretch there on the European Tour.
That's the European Tour, though.
Oh, right, because they're Europeans. They don't play as good as golfers.
Oh, my gosh. Don't do that. Don't even do that.
But, no, probably my boldest pick of the day is going to be Tommy. I have hopes that he's going to win. There's nothing trending for him for me to say for sure that I think he's the best pick I have. But he's also one of those people who could go out there and Golf Jesus could surprise us, you know?
You never know. Yeah, for sure. Okay, so I'm going down towards the bottom just a tad. He's not ranked very high this week. One of the few Jordan-sponsored players. I'm going to Harold Varner.
All right.
That's my bold pick.
That is it. And Harold Varner, he's the third, right?
Yes. Yes, he is the third. So, yeah, he's a cool dude as well.
He's very cool.
Very cool dude. So,
seems very down to earth.
He is.
I mean, I think he there's actually a fun little story about Harold Varner that I heard. It was on the Golf Channel one time, but basically Harold was I think it was Bethpage.
Okay.
When Brooks won, but Harold Varner was kind of up in the mix.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently, you know, Tiger pulled up in privacy, his yacht, and Harold was asking a couple questions, and he was like, "What? How do you know? Do you like taking care of your boat? You know, like all these, you know, just kind of asking about the boat." And in perfect Tiger fashion, he goes, "Look, if you got time to be on a boat, you got time to practice." And I don't think Harold Varner bought a boat. When the GOAT tells you to practice, I'd probably go out and start practicing.
Yeah, 100%.
So, fun little story there. I actually don't think that's that bad of a pick. He's another guy. He's very talented. He just hasn't been able to close the deal. He was right there with Brooks. I mean, he actually was up there, you know, in the mix in that U.S. or the PGA at Bethpage.
Mm-hmm.
Until Sunday. I mean, and I think Sunday was, that was the first time he'd ever been in a final group, let alone it was the final group of a major.
Right.
So he could absolutely go out there and take care of business.
Yeah.
He probably won't, but, you know, you can have hope, Chad.
Never know. I always have hope.
Okay.
I'm a bold guy.
My next pick.
Fourth pick.
I went Tommy. Man, I'm going to go with an oddball here.
Okay.
I'm going Erik van Rooyen.
Okay. He was on my list.
He, you know, he kind of started showing up there in the near the top of the leaderboard, near the tail end of the season before the FedEx Cups.
Mm-hmm.
The FedEx Cup. You know, I don't know a lot about him. I know he's very talented and he wears joggers.
Yeah.
So I you know, he's kind of another bold pick, but I think he's definitely trending in the right direction. I've seen him there, you know, in the second to last, third to last group a couple times. He's just got to close. I think a lot of the picks we have recently are all, you know, have shown that they can compete at the highest level. They just didn't close on Sunday. And hopefully, you know, Erik van Rooyen can get that done.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't put it past them for sure. It's a solid pick. It's a little bit of an oddball, but that's all right.
Well, I feel like for some of our casual listeners, they might not know who Erik van Rooyen is.
Right, yeah.
You ever see a guy wearing pants that cut off about his middle of his calf? That's Erik van Rooyen.
That's Erik van Rooyen. Bringing style to golf, I guess. Okay, so my fourth pick, we're going with one of the dads of the PGA Tour, I guess you could say. He has three PGA Tour victories. He's won kind of less marketed PGA Tour events. I'm going Brendan Todd.
Oh wow, that
you
is,
weren't expecting that, were you?
No, I had my mouse on who I thought you were picking.
Who'd you think?
Well, he's European.
Oh yeah,
but All right, that's not a bad pick though.
It's not. He's they put him towards the bottom this week, so he could shoot up there pretty
well,
quick.
Well, the thing about him is he doesn't hit it that far,
nope.
But he hits it straight.
Yep.
And he can putt.
Yep.
And, I mean, look, he may not be, you know, he hasn't been in the conversation much recently, but he had a month, 2 month stretch there on tour where he was always in the mix.
Yeah, 100%.
And if he found it once, I have no doubt that he can find it again.
Yeah, exactly. So your final pick, Hank. This is the most crucial one.
I know.
What are you shaking your head for?
I'm torn. There's
some good players.
Man. I mean, gosh. Let me see who I have real quick. Ricky, Colin, Tommy, Eric. Sounds like a really bad sitcom. Okay, I'm sorry. My computer was malfunctioning there. We are opening.
We always have technical difficulties.
All right. I am going to go ahead, and I think I picked him last week. Let me check. Or actually, no, I picked him in our fantasy league, and he actually got me some points. But another young guy, one of probably the most liked guys on tour, and he hasn't really won anything, so he's just clearly a very, you know, nice person. I'm going Harry Higgs.
Ah, you sucker.
Is that who you're picking?
Yeah. I love Harry Higgs.
He's a stud. And the best part about him is I think the best part of his game is his attitude.
Oh, 100%. I mean, he just likes to have fun, dude.
That Dreams, you know, when the Dreams TikTok was trending.
The back of the golf cart.
With the cranberry. And he was like on the back of the golf cart. I mean, legend.
Yeah.
I mean, now that's how you grow the game.
That is, 100%.
So, I you know, he's another player who, you know, he's been in the conversation, you know, on Sunday a couple times. Just hasn't set himself up completely to get over the hump of winning. But he could do it at any time. He's got the short game. He's got the long ball. I think, you know, he's another guy. I have no reason to believe he won't win this week.
Right, yeah. I don't doubt it. So my final pick, who did I have? Okay. Is it wrong to pick the same player 3 weeks in a row?
No. I mean, if Tiger Woods was playing in the last
year. Yeah, that's fair. I am going Sungjae Im again. Dude, he was up there this week a little bit. He didn't disappoint me one bit this week at all. Not one bit. So I don't put it past him to just keep grinding. Keep grinding, man.
The guy's an animal.
He's an animal.
How do you travel?
Another one of those great ball strikers.
Oh, he is. And his swing, I don't know how he doesn't hit it poorly. Because he takes it back slow, and then he gets here, and then it's just textbook.
Yeah.
It's textbook. From his backswing is a little weird, but...
Yeah, I think where people mess up, whenever people have a slow backswing, so whenever you start to lead with your upper body more than anything else, because you're so focused on your hands whenever you're moving slowly, that you lead with your upper body, but he doesn't do that, I don't think.
I don't know
he turns so beautifully through the golf ball.
I'm not even going to lie to you, Chet. I don't know if I have a fast or slow backswing.
You got a fast backswing.
Oh, I do?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say fast. It's not like... Not like Matthew Fitzpatrick fast.
Yeah, well.
That's a little much.
We see what happens when you have a fast backswing and your name's Matthew Fitzpatrick.
He just won on the European Tour, though.
I know. I can't really talk crap. He did chunk one in the Ryder Cup.
He did.
It was a scoring record, though.
He did.
Never forget.
Yep.
Sungjae Im, not a bad pick. You know, I think, you know, I'm hoping that, you know, I get to watch a little bit of golf this weekend, but I'm actually going on a golf trip. So we'll have a lot to talk about next week with that.
Oh, yeah. Looking forward to hearing.
Absolutely. But other than that, you know, Zozo's coming up. Tune in if you can. The coverage is actually going to be it's going to be prime time for us. So I would assume coverage 6:30, 7 o'clock is going to start, and you can watch it pretty much all night. I know when Tiger won, I spent all of Saturday night watching him play. So I do kind of like that about this the tournament being in Japan. You get a little bit different viewing experience. Plus – it makes the job for PGA Tour, you know, Golf Channel broadcasting it so much easier, you know?
Right.
They should be airing the whole thing because what are they competing with other than, you know, 2 hours of college football and
right.
a little bit of NFL. So I absolutely looking forward to it, but another good week. We got a big week coming up, and I'm going to sign off. I'm Henry Bourne. You're listening to the Muni Pros podcast. I'm as always, it was a pleasure.
Yep, I'm Chet Jamison. Always fun time in the studio. So
absolutely. Please tune in. Tweet us questions. We'll go ahead and send a tweet out tonight, just kind of letting everybody know about this episode. But we are loving this, and we hope you guys are too. So any feedback you guys want to provide?
Yep, we will be having guests on this podcast soon. So, we already got some Twitter beef going on with,
exactly.
with one guy. So,
and you guys aren't gonna believe this, but our first guest, Tiger Woods.
Tiger.
But no, that's all we have for you guys. Enjoy the show, and we will talk to you guys next week.
Yep, take care, guys.
Everybody, be safe.